There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the table from me, as always, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Howdy ho.
All right, Tim, before we get started up this evening, I do want to make a quick mention. We've got a good friend of ours that's in a little bit of a need here. And as we've talked about in the past on the shows, we, aside from doing the radio show, we also help out with prayer and healing requests for people. And we've gotten, you know, some really great results from people that have reached out to us to get that help. And right now there is somebody that needs our help in the field. For those of you that may not be familiar, Denise Jones, who runs a very prominent paranormal help site called Life Foundation. And you can find her by going to lifefoundation.com, I believe. You can also go to myspace.com/lifefoundation. And her son, Michael, experienced cardiac arrest yesterday. It was brought on by blood clots doctors believe developed when he had his wisdom teeth pulled. He's stable but in very serious condition and in a lot of pain. So if you could please do us a favor, keep Michael and his family and Denise in your prayers. Also, if there's any Reiki practitioners out there, energy healers, anybody that can just focus their energies, please do so. As a parent, I can't even begin to imagine if my 20, 21-year-old son was hospitalized and in cardiac arrest. So please do your best. Send out the energy to Michael Jones and his family and get them healthy and happy and back on their feet. So with that said, I don't like to start on a downer, but I certainly want to get the word out so we can start doing what we can to help. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. I wanted to mention we have got a new website. Our website is updated. You can go to darknessradio.com. You'll see the new website. A lot easier to navigate and hanging out in, be a part of our live chat, listen to the show. It looks really great. We want to thank Mike and Delia for doing such a fantastic job on the site. And, you know, it looks great. I'm so happy and appreciative for all the work that they've put into it in the last week here. So keep watching the site for new cooler updates as well. They've been busting their hump for about 3 weeks, just trying to get everything in order to get it up and running for us so that everything was rolling by this week. So guys, again, all of our appreciation. Thank you very much for all the effort that you've put into the website. We've got some cool stuff going on too. Because the website was kind of hinky-dink the last week here, I am going to extend the special deal that we had last week's show. We have got, I think it's about six passes left, six sets of passes for the International Ghost Got Ghosts Conference that's taking place in Victoria, Canada. If you're interested in attending that event, it's fantastic. You're going to be out in Canada, in Victoria, Canada. They're recommending you fly into Seattle. You can take the ferry right over to Victoria, Canada. It takes you right over to where the hotel is. We've got special rates on the hotel. I believe they're only $169 a night. But if you write to Dave@darknessradio.com right now, Dave@darknessradio.com, put in the subject line "free tickets to Canada," we will put you in touch with Lisa from Nevada Spirit Seekers. And if you'd like more information on that trip, go to nvspiritseekers.com. Again, that's NV for Nevada, nvspiritseekers.com, and you get all the information about the trip. It's going to be fantastic. Lloyd Auerbach is out there. I'm going to be out there as well. We've got Tiffany Johnson. We have Mark and Debbie Constantino. A lot of great speakers. Amy Bruni is going to be out there. So check out the website at nvspiritseekers.com and email me right now. We have about six pairs of tickets. So 12 people total, six pairs of tickets by emailing Dave@darknessradio.com. Put in the subject line, "free Canadian tickets," and we will get you set up. Now we're going to get going into our show. And, you know, again, I love when people out there that listen to the show send us, you know, guest ideas. And we were actually directed this gentleman from our friend Carrie Stone. And our guest is Dane Alexander. And we're going to bring Dane on the line here with us. Good evening, Dane. And thank you for joining us on the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Hello there.
Appreciate you spending your Memorial Day weekend here with us, sir. Thank you very much.
Happy to do so.
We've got a lot of topics to cover. When you reached out to me and started talking to me, I wanted you to stop before we got too deeply involved because I'm gonna get all tied up with you, and we're gonna fill this 2 hours pretty quick and pretty readily, I think, for people. So let's get into this. Dane, explain a little bit about people. Give them your background and what you do, and what brought you to the realizations in the book that you've written.
My background is kind of strange because I started off in international business. In fact, when I was 29, John Deere asked me to run John Deere for all of Eastern Europe for them, and I didn't know of spirituality. I wasn't religious. Various things started happening. I made kind of a promise to the universe because I saw things heading not well for the Earth and the population, and I let it go, knowing no one was really listening. That was a big mistake because my life took a massive right-angle turn, and it became like I would wear a three-piece suit and be on Wall Street or whatever during the week, and then during the weekend it'd be Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I found out years later that the majority of the stories were, or the majority of the events that happened that I just thought were really thrilling and exciting, were to be brought forth in a book. And when I was told to write this book this is a big one, but help save the world, I said, no, this can't be. And I've been trained. My background is actually training by ancient mystical orders, secret orders out of the Far East. Then I was picked up by the Lakota spirits, the Lakota medicine men, and trained, and then I follow the path of the absolute, which nobody really understands what I say when I say that, but it's really documented in the book. So all of that comes together to bring forth this concept, which what I really want to impart to people is that there is a way for you to access power far beyond anything that you've ever considered, and when you do this, you will actually help save the entire planet.
Now, I mean, that's a pretty big statement, Dane. I mean, getting involved and that there is this ability. I mean, when we talked the other day, you said there is an ability to time travel and to teleport. There are all these abilities and things that are open to us, and you're hoping to kind of share some of the bits of wisdom on this. I know there's a lot of it that'll go over people's heads, so we want to try to keep it simple tonight and talk about as much as we possibly can. Let's start off, I guess, at the beginning here. Now, talking about what you do, you were talking in the book about a cave in the Grand Canyon. What can you tell us about that?
Well, many people have heard of it. There actually exists an ancient cave in the Grand Canyon that's linked to many other caves around the world. And in this cave, it shows proof that man has been here longer than the 6,000 years that the fundamentalists would believe, but also the Jewish people and also the Islamicists believe. So when you go into this cave, and it does exist, very few people have been in there, you're going to find that it goes back, man has actually been on the earth millions and millions of years. The cave is really a small part of the story. The cave is basically a vehicle to bring you into the story, and the story actually teaches you this technique, and it teaches you what you can do. Let me give an example. Now, you know about the Exxon Valdez oil slick back in 1989, right?
Right.
Okay. Here is the key. 11,000 people worked on that for 15 years, and that oil, before they finally dissolved the contract and said it's impossible, oil is still found up there on the rocks. They didn't get rid of it. That is mentioned in the book, but it's also documented how two women actually made dissolve the 12th largest oil slick in humankind's history, recorded history, in just 4 days using this technique. We all know of the law of attraction. We know of the string theory of quantum physics and so on and so forth. This is not that. This is 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Those things will get you a better car, which is wonderful, get you a better home, get you more of a raise. What we're talking about are things which we can get into this show that will boggle people's mind, and what they're going to say is, I can't do that, and I'm going to show you that everybody can. Now, if you don't do it in this life, you'll do it in another, but I'm showing you it's very simple to do. It's tricky to pick up, but once you get the technique down, it happens time and time again. And that's what the purpose of the book is, to show you how to do this, because you will do things that will go far beyond anything that you can even believe possible.
With this cave that you're referring to, now this, what we're talking about, is your book fiction, first of all, or considered nonfiction?
It had to be written as fiction, but basically almost everything in it is based upon pure fact. It's based upon people, places, experiences that I personally had or know of having. So I had to write it as fiction simply because when you bring the truth in such a concentrated form to people, many people, not usually in the paranormal field, but just the general public, their mind shuts down. They can't handle it. And so you bring it into fiction as they start reading it. They go, well, wait a minute, I can research this. I can find this. That's true. All these things are true. I can try this. And so it was written as fiction, but only to get them interested. Everything is basically fact.
Well, this cave that you're referring to at the Grand Canyon, you say that there's proof in there. What is the proof that we've been here for millions of years as opposed to 6,000 to 10,000 years?
Well, very few people have actually been into the cave because it's very tricky to find, and I'm going to leave it to those listening to go out and actually do it, because it's like a Raiders of the Lost Ark experience, and it's very dangerous to get into, by the way, and it's also illegal to get into, so I wouldn't recommend it because I'd really recommend you breaking the law. But in the cave were found various artifacts. Were found, as an example, a short sword like the Romans would use. Now, okay, but also in the cave, the book mentions another short sword was found and is in a private collection down at the University of Arizona. And interestingly enough, in this cave is a drawing of a dinosaur. Well, we all know that dinosaurs supposedly died out 65 million years ago, and this cave was only 5.6 million years ago when it was, not the cave, but the Grand Canyon, when it came into being. So the cave itself had to be inhabited between 1.5 million and 5.6 million, and there had to be some reference to a dinosaur at that point in time. But they also found a lot of various artifacts in there, which were shipped back to the Smithsonian. And it's interesting, because when I called the Smithsonian on this years ago, when I first found out about this, I got the head curator, and he said, look, he said, we don't know about this cave. I've only been here 6 months. I'm getting inquiries about it. But I do know that we, because I've gone through the employment records, in this newspaper article about the cave, and by the way, the newspaper article is totally on the website if you want to go there, and you can read about everything in the cave. He said, these people that explored the cave actually were our employees at the time, and what happened to artifacts, we have no record. Well, okay. Now, if you call the Smithsonian today, you're going to find out that they say no cave, no employees, no artifacts. It's totally an April 1st Fool's Day joke. That's just, you know, nothing to really pay attention to. But the curious thing is, the article came out on April 5th. I wished I had recorded that conversation.
Well, you said no. Okay, where's the website, first of all, that we can send people to? So while they're listening, they can go check out the website and look over the article and look over the rest of the stuff.
All right, worldwideweb.itsmaya.com. That's itsmaya.com. Now, I'm going to ask you or suggest that you want to remove your pop-up blockers just to access some of the articles. Then you can put them back up again, of course. So,
well, I'm curious. Now, you say that there's ways to teleport, there's ways to time travel. So, if that's the case, and this cave seems to be a hotbed, how could it just be that people have time traveled back and forth into this cave, leaving trinkets and leaving things? Maybe this cave is a lot easier to port into or to use as a vessel in order to, you know, get to these places and get through time. Could they be in there just marking this stuff so it looks ancient, or has there actually been testing that these things are millions of years old?
Much of the artifacts coming out of there have been lost. There have been a few that have been retained, and they indeed are ancient. It's very difficult to radiocarbon rock, you know, little statues and that sort of thing. So your answer, your question is very good. Could they have teleported these things in? Possibly. Let's talk about teleporting momentarily, because it's a huge subject of fascination for everybody in the paranormal world. If you can teleport and be in one place, not astral travel, but actually physically, you and others be in one place at one moment and instantly be someplace else within a nanosecond, then actually you have bent the laws of time. And so if you elongate that, you can go past in the past, or if you do it, you can do it into the future. I have not gone into the future. I've been warned about certain things about that by much of the book is based upon Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. So when you get into it and you read a lot about the aliens, those are based many times on personal experiences.
All right, walk us through real quick, just so we've got this. Again, a lot of listeners, this is first-time information for them. Go ahead, can you walk us, what is the fifth kind? We're familiar with Close Encounters of the Third Kind because of the movie, but where does the fifth kind go, and what's the fourth kind?
The fourth, I don't know. I've been told just by those that I was with and had the opportunity to speak to, this is the physical presence of actually conferring with these people and actually traveling with them. And actually getting your information from them. So a lot of the information in the book is, let me give an example. It talks about an area in northern Arizona called Montezuma's Castle, and it talks about a cave up there that was covered up. This is based upon information that I was personally given as an example. So when you read about these things and you go up to Montezuma's Castle, you won't see the cave today, although you may see it rather shortly in the future, because it was told to me by these beings that it was going to be opened up, and there'll be artifacts in there from Atlantis. So actual personally traveling with an alien is of the fifth kind.
Okay. So travel with an alien would be the Close Encounters of the Fifth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, have you yourself traveled with aliens?
Oh, boy, I really hate to get into this. Only because of the motion picture and the international notoriety. If we could just table that one and not even have to answer it, I'd appreciate that. I know that leaves you kind of hanging, but maybe some other night if I can possibly work out a way of answering that properly.
All right. Now, well, let me put it this way then. Can you answer this? Has information that you've gotten, has it come from what you believe to be true alien contact? And are we talking alien from outer space or alien interdimensional?
Alien outer space, but there's also, as you know, interdimensional. One planet that I quote very heavily in the book is Eliopo, and this was a home planet of these particular beings.
All right, and they've been, now we hear all these different, you know, the mantis head, the blues, the grays, the whites. Have you had experience, or are you familiar with these different races as well? Is there any legitimacy to these races as far as you know?
Yeah, there really is. I was told in this particular galaxy there are roughly 478 different types of alien species. I haven't had contact with all of them. The reptilians, heaven have mercy, they do exist. The grays, a lot of us have had, you know, contact with the grays. The mantis type people, yes, they're out there and so on and so forth. And they do shapeshift, and they can, you know, it's interesting to me that 64-68% of Americans believe in UFOs. They either, you know, Aunt Hilda or my friend Charlie or somebody's seen one or I've seen one, but they do not want to accept they can land. If they've come all that distance or interdimensionally, they don't want to accept that they can land and that the portals will open up and they can get out and actually walk around among us. They don't want to go there. These beings are almost in every aspect of our society, and masquerading often as the people next door.
All of these different alien races that you are aware of, why do they choose Dane Alexander instead of Tim Dennis, my co-host, to make communication with? Or is that
well,
something?
No. What happened, as I referred to early on, is I was going through a very, very messy divorce. I had a little 4.5-year-old girl to raise, and I had no reference to anything spiritual, let alone religious, but I went to the Bible to read it. And I went into Revelation, and I got into an aspect. I don't believe in Revelation per se. I think the Bible is basically an allegory with some overtones of fact to it, but I saw that things were going to go bad, and I said, I would like to stay behind during this time of spiritual transition, and I just let that out into the world, knowing nobody was going to listen. I was just kind of venting my emotions at the time because I thought things were going to get really bad. What happened was when I started to then being brought into contact with others in this service, this particular book carries something of such power that we've had a threat about from some being, some group, or some people that do not want it out. And I can explain that to you later. But the power of the book is such as this. You and I, obviously, we know auras. All organic material has an aura. I sent the book off to a person called Shirley Salgi, and I said, Shirley, did you feel the power coming off of this thing? And she said, Dane, and she's a very famous psychic out of Ohio, and she said it was still in the 2 to 3 day mail pouch, and it was in the bedroom. My husband had put it on the dresser at the far end of the bedroom. And when I went to the bedroom, I started to flip the light switch, and I froze. And I said, whoa, why? What happened, Shirley? And she said, Dane, coming out of the sealed mail pouch, your book had half the room lit up in a glow. It was the half the room was totally lit up. So we went and we had it measured. And this is on the website. When you first go to the website, and down below it says evidence. It's still not totally finished, the website. Just click on that, and it will show you. We went to four separate people, three of which had different photographic capabilities, and one of which had a type of instrument for measuring human dynamics. And with a normal book, you'll have a 17-inch aura to 20-inch aura. This thing goes out more than 20 feet. So there's a power in this book. There's something that this book is really trying to get across to humanity at this point in time to keep the planet from self-destructing. And that's the message that they want brought forth. And so when I put this prayer out there, I didn't know it was a prayer at the time, I was brought into contact with these people, or they were brought into contact with me. So it doesn't mean that I'm special. I'm not at all, quite frankly. But I just put out there that I want to be of service in the highest possible way, and that's how this whole thing started out.
Well, we're going to take our first break here, Dane. Everybody out there listening, if you're joining us live in the chat room, you can PM your questions over to me, and I'll make sure that we can fit them in throughout the show. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more and your questions right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got to pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle, circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard, they're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout, neighbor three. Get your pitch to zero. Pitch is out, I can't hold altitude. Direction, alpha hold is off. Trip selected, emergency. Flight calm, I can't hold it, she's breaking up, she's breaking.
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Lord, run! Run, Lord!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening, Mr. Dane Alexander. And I've got a bunch of questions in the chat room coming in at me here, Dane, so let me throw a couple of these at you. Trixie Tall in our chat room wanted to know if you're familiar, and I'm sure I'm probably going to butcher the name of these, but are you familiar with the Rosicrucians?
Rosicrucians.
Okay, Rosicrucians. Sorry about that. She said they're very big in a town where she grew up near, in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Is that somebody that you're familiar with, and or have you had contact with them as well?
For many years, I was in the Rosicrucians, which is an ancient mystical order out of Egypt.
And oh, really? Okay.
It predates the Essenes.
All right. And is that something that are they also keepers of the secrets, like the Knights Templar and all of the Masons? Is that what's going on with that?
Yes, they are. You know, and for me, I really have a lot of respect for the Rosicrucian Order. Their headquarters is out of San Jose, in Lyon, France. It, however, was for me a stepping stone, because the information that later came and is imbued in this book is even far deeper than I was ever able to go with the Rosicrucians, and I really respect the order to a great, great, great extent. So I can say nothing but good about them, but what you have here is something of a great magnitude, something even much more.
All right. We've got a question here. Are aliens concerned about disease, virus, and bacteria? And that's coming from Joe in our chat room.
Not the ones that I know of, Joe. The aliens can do a couple things. They can either shapeshift and be here, and I've never encountered anything where that was mentioned, or they can, go into a human body as the soul is exiting and actually take over that body and be a walk-in, and then therefore they have the same difficulties with the body as a human would. But that's not a big priority with aliens as far as my understanding.
You know, you were talking about the fact that we've been here for millions of years. So do you believe then that we did coexist with the dinosaurs?
Absolutely. But that goes back about 10 million years ago. You'll find the hidden archaeology by Cramo and so on and so forth, saying that, we've been around billions of years. But there's been so much where the Earth has built up and then fallen back, built up and fallen back, involution and evolution. And there's absolute proof. In fact, we nailed the proof and mentioned time and time again where we've been here at least hundreds of millions of years, back and forth. But, for instance, when Mount Tabor in Sumatra exploded in the roughly 72, 74,000 years ago, that brought the population of Earth down to anywhere from between 1 and 10,000 people. And in the last 70,000, 75,000 years, we've sprung forth from that small remnant. So, we have been, we've ballooned out, we've gone down to almost nothing time and time again. So we've been here when the dinosaurs were here.
What keeps wiping us out? Is it that we get too advanced for the technology that we have and we end up wiping ourselves out? Or is there a higher power like God that's causing floods and storms and hail and whatever to destroy us time and time again?
Fantastic question. That is the absolute crux essence of the book. What you really have are two parallel... Now, there are many dimensions, okay? Many. An infinite number, quite frankly. But we're talking in two primary ones that we're dealing with. One is reality, and one is totally an illusion. Now, the illusion is so great that it seems real. If you take a knife and you cut my hand, I'll bleed. And yet, there is a way in which no blood will occur, because the cut cannot occur. This is where it becomes very, very difficult, and you actually have to read the book two or three times until you go, aha. But you have two parallel situations going here, and God does not see anything of this nature. For instance, these two women that made this oil slick disappear, they actually didn't make it disappear. What they did was shift their focus from one dimension to another, and the oil slick seemed to be not in that other dimension. But when they did it, everybody else saw that other dimension as they saw it. Now, I know this is really hard to wrap your mind around, so don't worry about it. Let me give you a story of a woman who was in a shower back in one of the major cities, and she was showering in home alone, and she slipped on some soap, and she went down. She braced herself against that little ceramic soap thing that hangs on the wall,
right.
And as she did, her weight broke it, and it just slashed her to the bone and slashed right down to the artery, and she was just spurting blood all over the place. And she knew that there was nobody home. She couldn't get dressed. She couldn't even make it to the door before she would have bled to death. And so she went into the changing of focus, or changing of the mode, that is really detailed in this book. The book is really kind of an instruction manual wrapped around a story. And as she did this, she forgot that she was even wounded, and she kept on showering, and by the time she got through showering, she had no memory of this, and she turned off the shower, and she looked around, and she said, well, a lot of blood on the wall, where'd this come from? Then she remembered, and she looked down, because she expected to see this huge scar and everything else. There was no scar, there was no cut.
Hmm.
She was perfect. So what happens is she changed her focus. Let me give you an example. If I hypnotize you on stage and say, David, you are a chicken, you are a rooster. Crow like a rooster and scratch like you're going for mash around on the stage. For that time, everybody in the audience will go, there's Schrader up there. You know, he thinks he's a rooster. You're crowing and everything else. We know you're not, but you think you are. Because to you, you're in this state of hypnosis. You really are. Then we go 1, 2, 3 out of it, and boom, you say, hey, Dane, you never hypnotized me. Well, yes, you were hypnotized. We are in a state of such perfect hypnosis that everything around us seems real. And what the key is how to shift your focus out of that hypnosis. And when you do that, perfection appears. So when you say, did God...
This sounds like the Matrix movie.
Ah, the Matrix kind of showed you what? This will show you how. If you ever really want to become a Jedi Knight, this will show you how. It's tricky to do. I'm going to tell you, I don't get it right all the time. Have I teleported? Yeah. Have I made things actually appear out of thin air? And this is with people around and watching. Yes. But do I have it happen all the time, like avatars that I've known? No. I know of one. In fact, I document him in the book. If you and I and he wanted to go to Paris for lunch, whoosh, boy, you'd be in Paris. No problem. Then back again. You know, he would go out hiking all afternoon with a half canteen of water up in Sedona and just pour out water all day long, and at the end of the day, he'd still have a half canteen of water. Now, this very same thing happened to my wife and her cousin and me when we went up to Sedona, interestingly enough. Paula came in from Miami, and my wife said, we've got to show her around. I said, well, there's nothing to show her in Phoenix. Let's take her up to Sedona. So we drove up there, and it took half a tank of gas. And I was going to get on the way back, I'd take another half tank of gas. I didn't want to go into Phoenix on empty, so I planned on gassing up about 2/3 of the way back. But the problem was, on the way back, I was so exhausted. I was beyond, I could have killed everybody in the car and oncoming traffic. I just could have gone into the ditch. That's how bad it was. And I started using this technique, and I got so alive with energy and such clarity and everything else, I went all the way into Phoenix. And I looked down, and we had used zero gas going from Sedona all the way back, when in essence we used a half a tank going up. We should have been empty, but we used nothing.
Now, did you find that doing that, though, did you find that you arrived faster than you thought you would have? Was there any time change at all?
No, not on that time. There have been other times where there's been, you know, teleportation.
The reason I ask that, now, you know... I'm going to address this, Dane, because I'd be remiss if I didn't. And I know the listeners are listening. And I mean, you've got a great speaking voice. You come off very intelligent. But to the mass, what you're talking about sounds completely insane.
It does.
And it sounds like, oh, geez, what, you know? I mean, one of the people in our chat room's question during the break was, yeah, here's my question: where can I find some good buds that this guy is smoking? you know, so that's the main. The main deal here is you're facing is so many people are out there kind of just, you know, they want to believe, but some of the stuff gets so overboard in you know, scope. Although I'll say that the two things that really strike me about some of the stuff, like I can tell you there has been times, and I joke around and I've talked with the kids about folding time, when I've needed to be somewhere that's an hour away and I get there in 25 or 30 minutes without speeding. And I don't know how I do it, and I will tell you that there's gaps in memory where, you know, it's kind of like when you're on autopilot. You drive to work every day. Sometimes you don't even realize that you took the turn, and you're wondering, gee, I don't remember turning on the road to get to work. When the hell did that happen, right? You're just kind of in that moment. You're doing 1,000 other things, but your body and everything motor function-wise knows where to go without you. So I've had
because
that.
Because for the moment you forgot who and what you were, and you allowed the divine principle to take
right,
over.
You weren't being controlled by time, right? You'd given up. You weren't focused on, God bless it, I'm going to be late, son of a biscuit, this is going to take me forever to get there, and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
You fold out of it, and all of a sudden, without the constraints of your mind holding you to what time is believed to be, you can transcend those moments. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, and I totally agree with your person looking for the buds, you know. Because if somebody told me this 30 years ago, I would have said, check, please, you know, call me a cab, and I'd have been out of here. I'd have been the first one to the door. I've had so many, many, many experiences, and I do not expect but a fraction of the listeners to really say, this may be possible. Most of the people who read the book get through the book and say, God, what an exciting story. This is mind-blowing because it's fact. I can research it like these tunnels and everything else. and they don't have a clue. And they read it the second time, and they go like, there's stuff in here that wasn't here the first time. And then they'll read it the third time, and they'll go like, oh, I can see how to do this. Let me practice. And then they start practicing it, and occasionally it'll happen, and occasionally it'll happen. They'll fold time, they'll teleport, and so on and so forth. And then later on they'll go like, and they'll try to explain it to a friend of theirs, and the friend will go like, are you nuts?
Let me ask you this, Dane. I had, and I mentioned this way back when on our radio show, I had a very strange occurrence, and maybe this is something that will help people out, because I hear this a lot for people that have been in car accidents. I was driving down the road with my son about 7-8 years ago. We hit an ice patch. It was mid-afternoon traffic. You know, you've got a busy rush hour going. My car began to spin. There were cars all around us, and I mean, we were hauling. And I remember I looked over at my son and I said, and it was just this very calm, totally out of time conversation. I mean, we carried on a full conversation in the time my car was spinning towards the ditch and, you know, spinning donuts in the middle of the highway where there's cars whipping past us. I looked at him and said, ooh, I said, son, I'm really sorry. This is going to end badly. And he said, well, I know, Dad, it's not your fault. You know, everything will be okay. And I said, I'm really sorry, Cliff. I think this is going to be a really bad, bad moment for us. And he, you know, he just said, it's okay, Dad, I love you. And we held hands and we just watched the car spin. And it felt like an eternity. But the weird thing was, here we are in rush hour. Cars are whipping past us on an icy road. Nobody's touching us. We go down into the ditch, come up and stop just before we go into the, you know, oncoming lane of traffic. But for that, and, you know, I mean, looking at the clock, it was all within a 15-second span of time. But, you know, I mean, we literally, our voices never got above this level. We never were screaming. There was no panic. There was no, you know, freaking out. It was just this moment in time that seemed to stop. You know, we were able to just carry on this conversation. Is that the same kind of bending of time that you refer to? I mean, is that something that you hear as a common occurrence? And I, like I said, I have a lot of people that tell me in car accidents, time seems to stop for them. Do you find that as well?
Absolutely. In fact, you can sing an entire opera in 1 second. I mean, you can sing at just a normal level, and by the time you finish the opera, only 1 second of time has passed. I'm going to give you the key. I'm going to give you the total essence of the book right here.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Hold on to that. We have to take our second break. So now we're going to keep people driving back in. We're going to hear the total key when we come back. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Dane Alexander.
Director's log. I can't believe I'm with these Darkness Radio dorks again. It's like having bamboo shoved underneath my fingernails. Please, somebody shoot me.
Don't you dare move. There's more to come from The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis. If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer Records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Ooh, that hurts.
Good evening. Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We're here with you every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to midnight Central Time. If you can't listen live, remember, we archive all of our shows, so you can check out the shows within 48 hours of airing. They're on our website. Just go to darknessradio.com and click on the Archives button. You'll be able to go in and pick up any of the old shows. You can now also subscribe to the RSS feeds and get direct from iTunes, so that way every episode that comes out, you'll be automatically alerted to it. So please check out our website. It's a brand new website that's been put together by our good friend Mike and Delia. They busted their hinies over the last 3 weeks to update our site and bring us into the 21st century, Tim.
Yippers.
Quite a step up from, 3 years ago when we got the site. But, you know, again, our friend Don from Evolve, I said, hey, I've got a radio show we want to do. Can you help me with a website? And within 4 hours, that website was up and running fine for us for the last 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But our good friends Mike and Delia stepped forward and were willing to help us out and really update and get things going. I will tell you, both of them are in my top friends at MySpace. If you are looking for web work at a great price and reasonable people that know what they're doing, I would certainly reach out to Mike G or Delia in my top list. They are the people that have been able to put together all the stuff that we're looking for the website, and they'll keep it updated for you. We're going to get back into our show. Before we left for the ad here, commercial break, Dane had promised to give us the answers to life, the universe, and everything. So go ahead and hit us, Dane. We're ready. I'm sitting back, and I've got my my popcorn and my bottle of soda, and I'm ready to hear it all.
All within 15 seconds.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Here is a you know, what you said, and it's so true. One of the main problems with this is to tell somebody that everything that they believe, everything they understand, doesn't exist, that there is an alternate reality, that they are also in that alternate reality, and they can tap into it at will. Because we've been so programmed over the millions and billions and billions of years that we've been around as souls, taking different forms each incarnation, that we no longer believe that. And by the way, there's a chapter in that that actually goes back and explains where you are really from, how you got here, and where you're going. In fact, we're making a separate motion picture out of that, and there'll be a television series, something like The X-Files. But, okay, that is the major problem, is describing how difficult it is. For instance, Dave, you've often heard that when the student is ready, the master will appear. Right?
Correct. Right.
Okay. That's wrong. The master is always here. It's when we finally elevate ourselves enough that we go, aha, there you are. Where have you been? I've always been here. You just haven't been able to see me or hear me or whatever. All right. What I'm going to tell you is these things that I'm going to tell you right now are truisms. They cannot be altered. They are immutable. They've been here since the beginning of time, and yet they're going to be so difficult to understand because they're so simple that they will go past this. They go past me entirely, and I have to keep working to understand them. All right, first of all, do you believe in, there are several just easy questions, a supreme deity, a supreme presence, a divine force of any nature? There's no wrong or right of this, but yes or no?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so we believe in, we're going to call it God just for the ability to tack a name onto it. All right,
you can call it God, I'll call it Donny Osmond, whatever works best for you.
That, Donnie's good. Donnie, I don't know about Marie, but Don, okay. All right, so, all right, we'll call it this divine presence God. Now, is this essence everywhere throughout, permeating all time, space, everywhere, or are there pockets where it's not, where there's a void of this divine being?
I don't know. Rephrase that question for me. I guess I'm not following what you're...
Is this Donny Osmond God presence everywhere throughout all time, space, or are there areas where there's no God at all? Pockets.
You know, I guess in the belief I was brought up with, God is everywhere at all times and, omnipresent.
Right.
So that's my belief to this
point. Okay, we'll work with that. That's you've got two for two. The third one. Does this infinite being make mistakes, or does it occasionally go, oops, mess that one up?
Well, I think the platypus and my two ex-wives are definite proof that, yes, he does make mistakes. No, I'm just kidding. I think...
laughter in the background.
That's right. I do think that there's, I think that there's been some mistakes made, sure.
Okay. Two for three. You did very well. Actually, the divine essence is perfect, and yet we see things imperfectly. If you go back, like, to the Old Testament and go to the chapter Habakkuk, I never say it right, it has two K's. He said, God's eyes are too pure to behold what we're seeing. God sees only a state of perfection, and yet we see wars, we see pestilence, we see gasoline at $4 a gallon, going up to $10 a gallon in the next couple of years, on and on and on. So there are two realities going on here. God sees one and doesn't see what we're seeing. These two women that made this oil slick disappear, as I told you earlier, did not make it disappear. What they did is they changed their focus and saw through God's eyes a state of perfection, and they did it so strongly that everybody else saw that too, and the whole oil slick disappeared. This is so hard to get one.
Now, which oil slick are we referring to again?
That's called the Shetland Island oil slick off the Shetland Island off of the United Kingdom.
And now there is proof of this? There's, people can go research this oil slick that vanished?
Oh, sure. Now, what they're going to find, this is always humorous. Scientists do not wish to believe anything exists beyond the empiricism of the laboratory. If they can't touch it, feel it, and smoke it, they just, doesn't exist. Do you believe in miracles? They'll say, well, yeah. Do you believe in prayer? Yeah. And then they'll pause 15 seconds. They go, well, I don't know. I can't really do it in the laboratory, so they don't exist, although Aunt Hilda seemed to be fixed by something. Okay, the scientists come out and say the oil blew away. You'll research the Shetland Island oil spill. A lot of you are Googling it as I speak. And they'll say the oil blew away. Well, if it blew away and it's the 12th largest oil slick in humankind's recorded history, where is the oil today? It's still up there in Valdez, Alaska. The other group of scientists came out and said, well, we put some chemicals on it. It all went down to the, it just sunk it, and it's down to the bottom of the ocean, so just we don't see it on the top. And yet I quote a BBC cameraman who said, we sent cameras down there, and there is no oil. The sand is pure as snow, pure white. So it's the Shetland Island oil slick. Have fun, but scientists just go crazy because they can't explain it, therefore they just deny it. These two women did it. In fact, I also quote in the book.
Well, why can't these two women pull together and get rid of the Exxon Valdez mess then? And understand, I'm not putting you on trial here. I'm just wondering. If they've had this ability, why wouldn't they continue? If people have this ability to make things better, if two women focused on one thing so purely can remove something like this, why isn't there more done to sustain these type of things?
I don't know. I only know of one of them. She's a Shetland Islander right off of the coast of England. And the other one was a nameless person. It was her friend in England itself. Discovery Magazine wrote an article about it. In fact, I quote the exact article. It says, you know, an environmental disaster that was not. Why they don't focus on other things, I don't know. I do know that 1,000 people around the world using this technique will not only stop global warming but reverse it. Let me give you an example of why. And I'm going to use Jesus, not in a religious context, but most people know the name and know a little bit about him, okay? They came to Jesus and they said, look, you're the Son of God. And he didn't get off his pedestal and say, oh, golly gosh, guys, let's have a brewski, I'm just one of you. He lifted everybody listening, everybody, you, me, everybody, up to his capability, which we find hard to buy off on, and said, is it not written in your literature that you are also the sons of God? But later, and this is the key, they came to him and said, look, geez, come on, you're the Son of God, we ain't, because, number one, you changed water into wine, you made the ocean, the waves calm down when the boat was about ready to sink, you fed thousands with just a couple baskets of dried breadsticks and a couple pieces of dried fish, and you had food left over. But the big thing was, your friend Lazarus was dead for 4 days. We know he was stinking. We wrapped him in linen, put him in that cave, and you came along and said, he's not dead, he's asleep. And you raised him from the dead, Jesus. You are the Son of God. We can't do those things. Jesus turned to them and said, look, these things that I have done and greater shall they, meaning modern man, also do. Now, what he did is he remote viewed the future. He saw the rediscovery of this ancient technique, which wasn't his, it was from the very beginning, and he saw that coming back to the time when Earth is about ready to self-destruct. We came within 12 days, about a year and a half ago, of actually having an ice age where, like Chicago is under 3 miles of ice, it would have almost happened again. So we're on the tipping point, and that's why the movie production company that owns called Tipping Point Productions. We are on the tipping point of everything falling apart in the next 10 years. And this is the rediscovery of that technique, and it's there, and people can do it and study it, and 1,000 people around the world can actually reverse this whole thing.
This just sounds so big idea. I mean, it's a step up from the whole hippie movement of love, peace, God, hug the trees, save the dolphins. I mean, you understand what I'm saying when I say that, right? That it's just it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that just love and intent can change these things.
I talk with Carrie Stone. Carrie's a good friend of mine, and Carrie's a psychic. She is very good, and she read the book, and we talked about this again and again. And her mind, she said exactly that. She said, "Dane, I can't wrap my mind around this. It's just like." And later on, she's doing it. You know, you have to go into it and practice and then see demonstrations of it, and then all of a sudden it starts becoming real. As they say, 30 years ago, if somebody told me this, I'd have been the first one at the door and gotten into the taxi and gone home. It's just too much to say time doesn't exist, gravity doesn't exist, you can raise people from the dead, you make people think, make things appear out of thin air. Like when we came back from Sedona, that was making gasoline appear out of thin air. It was an appearance.
You know, I have a good question here from Georgia Peach Marie. Do you believe, then, that God and Jesus are aliens?
Read that to me one more time.
Do you believe that God and Jesus are aliens?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. Are they you know, I know that you're being very careful with the use of Jesus. We have about a minute left. We'll come back after the top of the hour and get deeper. But do you believe that Jesus was a son of a god, or was he somebody that was just gifted with sight and the ability to, as you said, remote view and to understand the way the universe works?
He was exactly like each of us. He just had a little more understanding, and what this book is trying to open up that aspect of understanding. He and you are the same. You are at the same level. You've just forgotten it.
All right. Well, Dane, again, let's give them your website so they can check this out during the next break.
Okay. It's itsmaya.com. That's itsmaya.com.
Itsmaya.com. And our guest is Dane Alexander. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to be back with more. We'll take more of your questions in the chat room. Please feel free to file in and give us your questions there through PM. I cannot watch the chat room while I'm doing the interview, but I can check for your private messages. So you can private message either Tim or I, and we will try to get those questions in with Mr. Alexander. I've got some points I want to bring up here with Mr. Alexander as we come back and see if we can delve a little bit more deeply, and hopefully by the end of this maybe we can all go home with a clearer understanding of how we can help change our own future and the future of those around us. Stay with us. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.